Loyal listeners, if you would like to get the HLS podcast ad-free, as well as get some bonus content like the National Recap podcast, as well as some other random musings from myself, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. It is just $1 a month or more, if you so choose, to access all of this bonus content. And I would like to thank new patrons, Brian S. and Brent L. Thank you all so much for your support. Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the HLS Picks Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can subscribe and catch this pod when it comes out over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Come join us in Discord. That is our live chat channel, herlittlesons.com/Discord. Twitch.tv/herlittlesons is where you need to join us Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Central for a little bit of sim action. And of course, you can always find us at herlittlesons.com for about another month or two. And with that said, I bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, my friend?
Ryan, my team won the World Series last night. I did not get my face bitten by the emotional support monkey belonging to a stripper that a Texas coach left his wife and children for and then bit a child's face off at a Halloween party. So I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am doing good knowing that I do not have a pole assassin in my life. And if you really want to have a look of, you know, just when you talk to people that are not online, it's always interesting. When you're married to that person and you're trying to explain what a pole assassin and a monkey biting a kid is, like all this stuff, she's like, so let me get this straight, Ryan. After you got done with your charity stream, you didn't go to bed till nearly 2 a.m. because of a stripper monkey. Yeah, actually, that about sums it up.
I mean, Monday might be the most fun I've had on Twitter in, I can't even tell you. When the stripper went through the walkthrough of her backyard to show how far you would have to go to get to the emotional support monkey's cage.
Which and that sign, by the way, totally did not look hastily made with any edits at all.
No, and within 10 minutes, she had deleted not only that tweet, but all of her tweets.
Because somebody whole was like, ass account.
Hey, this is going to go bad for you.
A lawyer called and said, hey, do you know you just admitted like the crux of the issue? You admitted it happened. You're stupid.
There is a non-zero chance that I know who the lawyer is that called.
Oh, that is awesome.
I don't know who it is. I mean that there is a very good possibility that...
In the circles. I know what you meant. I'm like, that is... It's just the degrees
of separation. UT's only calling so many folks, so... they might be in my Rolodex is all I know.
Oh, man. Absolutely incredible. That was an incredible night. I never thought in the middle of a Mass Effect stream... I would go to the restroom, come back, and play a video of a deleted tweet because it was still in my Twitter cache.
Yeah, I went ahead and filmed it on my laptop with my phone and retweeted it for posterity. I want that to live forever.
I want to go highlight that thing.
I hope that's how I get a DMCA strike.
That's what I was about to follow up. I said that'll be my first DMCA strike on Twitch is that I have somebody's legal admission and some lawyer wants it scrubbed from the internet.
Oh my God. Hey, while we're on the subject of good things, Notre Dame just got the number 2 linebacker in the country committed. So
yeah, I saw
things,
that.
Things are good.
I am not exactly a recruiting savant, Eddie, but I think getting 5-star linebackers is a good thing.
I am pro getting 5-stars.
Yeah. So that was some awesome news. And some awesome news for me at least. I went 6-6. You went 5-7 last week, so I clawed back Now just two games behind our $200 extra life bet, Eddie.
I mean, you were going to get a game either way. My existential crisis helped and hurt depending upon the game. But the pitchy woo-woo bullshit that we suffered on Florida State was just
we should both be 500 or better. That was and you know what made me feel worse about that? I'm glad you brought up the pitchy woo-woo crap. Because I didn't realize, like, I saw the play and saw the idiot run backwards immediately. What I didn't know until SVP broke down the play on bad beats, that moron had two blockers wiping people out downfield. He did not have to run backwards.
He did not want the ball. He was immediately looking to get the fuck out of Dodge with that. Like, that, nope. that was a montage worthy. Like, that was, that hurt emotionally.
That was, and it was one of those things, like I mentioned on our bonus podcast, I'll give a little info on what's behind the Patreon paywall. Like I told Shane, I said, I'm like, oh, okay, well, Clemson finally got one, having no idea how that game went, and having my mood, and this was after Notre Dame won, I'm at a Halloween party, I had a nice buzz going on, I saw the highlights of that, I said, the fuck?
Yeah, it flipped the spread, it flipped the total, it got everything. It was complete carnage.
Yeah, that's one of those you want to be in a sports book for, just to see the reactions, and you just pray you were on the winning side. We were not, so no. Fuck you very much, Florida State.
That's welcome to gambling, kids.
Yeah, no joke. This is why it's called gambling. Okay, but now the records are still great. They're still good. I am sitting at 64-47-2. Eddie sitting at 66-43-2. Those numbers don't seem
45
right.
45-2.
Yeah. I have a lot of typos on this sheet, as Eddie will attest to, as I texted him before the show and said, hang on a second, one of these lines is absolutely wrong. Oh, it's been a long week. I'm ready to get to some picks, Eddie. This is when my week starts turning around, starts getting a little bit better. We're on the other side of hump day. What do you say we get to this, my friend?
Let's go, baby.
All right. We are looking at Big Noon Saturday, Eddie. And Big Noon Saturday is going to feature a Big Ten matchup of colossal titans. You thought Michigan State was incredible? How about Ohio State, Nebraska? Oh, gosh. There's a lot of weird matchups this week, kids. There's only one top 25 matchup, which we will get to in a little bit. But sure, why not? We'll pick this one. Ohio State favored on the road by 15 points on this Scott Frost day. Who do you have, Eddie?
We've made a lot of jokes about Scott Frost over the years, and I don't regret a single one of them. I think they've all been deserved. It's a shame that he's going to get fired on this season because, while yes, their record is terrible, they have been fighting their asses off in these one-score games all year long. Like, a couple breaks go the other way, we could be talking about a completely different year for Nebraska. This opened at 15. It stayed at 15. There's been no movement, even though, as of like an hour ago, 90% of the tickets and 81% of the money were on Ohio State. The entire world is on Ohio State, and when Nebraska loses this year, they lose close. It's always a one-score game. And it's not like Ohio State's been blowing people out. They're only 4-3 against the number. So this is one of those, you're not going to enjoy it, but you just got to remember why those buildings are so tall and shiny. Ride with the house. Give me the Huskers.
You know what, Eddie? I'm riding with you, too, because I don't always like doing the public thing. I like going with my gut. And on the face of this, like, hell, there's no way I'm picking Nebraska. But as you said, they managed to keep games frustratingly close. And you know, the one that sticks out to me, because I watched way too much of it, was the game against Sparty. Sparty very well should have been coming into that Michigan game with at least one loss on their ledger, and one of them should have been to Scott Frost, but they totally blew it. But yeah, this line barely moved. Half a point at some books is about all it's moved. And Eddie, the number has changed a little bit. Now 91% of the tickets are on Ohio State.
There you go.
It's still going in that direction. So yeah, you know what? Scott Frost may not be long for the Huskers, But I have a feeling at home, they'll give Ohio State a little bit of a frustrating fight. Lions stinks a little bit to me. I would have figured Ohio State would be a bigger favor. They have been getting things together. I think there's also maybe a little bit of, you know, maybe some chest puff out of Ohio State. Like, yeah, look at the playoff rankings, man. We're fine.
Yeah.
So, Rooster's going to come home to roost in this one. All right, let's move on to a traditional matchup over on the SEC Network. Another one. Another classic, Eddie.
Noted rivalry.
Of the oldest of all Mississippis taking on the long-standing historical program that are the Liberty Flames. Ole Miss is a 10-point favorite, and man, I am shocked with what happened against Auburn. And look, I'm happy even though I lost the pick with Auburn, you know, winning that game. The only part I'm worried about this pick is how healthy is Matt Corral. He came back in. He seemed to be playing fine. I don't think Liberty's that good. They've had better football teams, and I never know what's going on at the corners of that university, who's standing watching action going on, or any of that kind of stuff. I ain't picking Liberty. That lane train's getting back on the tracks, especially with it being back in the Grove, being at home. I think Lane's going to have a statement to make, get back on track. Go ahead and give me the oldest Mississippi you got, sir. What you got?
My love and respect for both Ole Miss and Matt Corral has been very abundant on the pod this year, but I don't think Matt Corral's okay. He looked bad when he came back in last week. I don't think he's right, and there's still way bigger games that they're going to be worried about. I don't think Lane is looking at Liberty as a, oh, here we go. Here's our chance to get our groove back. We're going to show people what's up.
It's a classic matchup, Eddie.
Yeah, you might see this once on the bottom line as you're scrolling through games. Like, no one's going to give a shit about this one. And I think that they're going to, if they play Matt Corral the full time, I think they are going to try and be handing the ball off and keep him out of trouble. Not to mention, Liberty puts up a lot of points. And so once you get into 10-point territory, that back door opens back up, and we've seen Ole Miss let that happen too many times in the past. So I don't like this, but I'm going to take Liberty.
All right, there's the first disagreement of the pod. Let's see if we keep on going. We're going to head over 11 a.m. It's either going to be on ABC or ESPN2. The reason I say that is there's some regional fuckery going on at the noon hour. So Wake Forest, undefeated Wake Forest, your favorites to win the ACC, at least in my opinion. They're going to go on the road and face a beaten, downtrodden North Carolina. Eddie, who do you got? North Carolina favored by 2.5.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, you just said North Carolina is favored by 2.5.
Did I get the line backwards?
No, I'm making sure that I'm doing a bit. Just say yes.
Okay. Eddie, I've made enough typos on this sheet.
That's fair.
I would not be surprised. My brain is in a fog today. So, all right. Resume with the bit. I am sorry for ruining jokes.
You did correctly say that North Carolina is favored by 2.5. Did you not?
I did correctly say that. I actually have it on my phone as well, just because I was nervous.
And you also reminded the folks that Wake Forest is undefeated, did you not?
I did as well. And North Carolina, for the record, is 500 at 4-4.
So fairly often defeated. Ryan, I've got this new pretty laptop, and I don't know if it shows up on older models, but I see some fucking cartoon stink lines. I've got a bear fact for you. Rawr, rawr. This is the first time since the year of our Lord, 1993, when an 8-0 or better team was an underdog versus a team that did not have a winning record.
Wow.
Bear fact. Rawr.
Wow.
This line fucking stinks. I hate this pick, especially having played North Carolina last week, but that's how these games work. You're supposed to hate the picks. You just got to go with it. So hold your nose. Get ready to take a shower later, because we getting stinky, boys. Heels.
Well, You see, I don't have an older model of laptop. I'm working on my gaming / streaming rig. There's a lot of custom parts in here. Some of the parts are old. A lot of them are new, but there's some older stuff on here. I don't quite see the stink lines. I actually kind of get why North Carolina is favored. There's part of me, because this line, Eddie, opened at half a point. So it was damn near a pick 'em, which I can get, because North Carolina, despite what Mac Brown said, preseason darling, even though the media clearly got it wrong, according to one Mr. Brown, they still have a high-powered offense. And we saw that on display. Wake Forest, they can score a lot of points. Their defense, not great, but more often than not can stop some big plays. The one exception was hilarious, and it was Army, where Army and Wake Forest decided to get into a shootout of the ages.
What did we get, a buck 26 out of that?
It was incredible. I mean, anytime you have a triple option team involved in a shootout, that's something special. You got to treasure that. This, I think, is going to be more of the classic variety of the shootout. And Eddie, in the shootout, got to take the points, man. I'm leaning on that principle heavier than the stink lines, because I will agree, it is odd, it looks weird, but I actually see the logic in here as far as why Vegas would do that. Because I also feel there's a little bit of Vegas saying, the public ain't going to buy Wake Forest. How do we make them jump on North Carolina? And Eddie, despite the stink, despite that juicy trap they're trying to set by, please, go ahead and take North Carolina. This looks weird. 69% of the bets and 60% of the money says, fuck you, Vegas. We know what we're doing. Line is slowly moving upward. So why the hell not? I'm going to take the points. I'm gonna dive right into that stink bath, Eddie.
All right.
All right. Next up, we have the big game. The lone right matchup on... By the way, they got an early game, Army Air Force, if you really want to wake up at 10:30 in the morning.
Bet the under. Doesn't matter.
Principles.
It's probably down at like 34 by now. My book still has not put the total up because they're fucking cowards.
Whenever it's going to be 29 up, by the time you get it.
Still on the under. Still going to cover it by like a touchdown.
I am talking about Auburn coming down to College Station and visiting Texas A&M. He was a 4.5-point favorite. This line started at 8.5, Eddie. There's been some movement on this one. This is an existential crisis of my own, Eddie.
Ooh.
Because I got the team I grew up cheering for and the family ties. I got Bo Nix. And I got Zach Caldaza. I'm already blanking on his name. Caldaza. I'm sure I'm already mispronouncing it. Both of these quarterbacks are not great. One beat Alabama, though. The other one's starting to look better, or at least maybe not look better, but looks functional for a change. You got a running back named Tank, who they've been leaning on pretty heavily over on Auburn's side. Eddie, I'm about to do something, and I can't believe I'm going to do it. I am actually going to bet on Bo Nix on the road in College Station, because at the end of the day, this feels like a field goal game that A&M squeaks out. That's a cover, folks. That'll take you to cover town. And there's weird splits here. Most of the tickets, and by I mean barely over 50% are on the Aggies, and barely over 50% of the money is on Auburn. So there's no patterns there. I just got to go with my gut, and my gut says just going to be one of those games that comes down to the last minute, and I don't see it being won by a touchdown. I wish to hell. Well, I have 8.5 here. Apparently, Action Network has changed and said it stayed at 4.5, but whatever. It's about where I see it. 2.5, 3 game. Go ahead and give me Auburn to cover. I am going to regret this. Who you got, Eddie?
Goddamn right you're going to regret it. You're taking fucking Bo Nix on the road? No, sir.
You not held a that fucking chance. Expertly.
It was tough, bud. I mean, I don't have the existential crisis because I don't give a shit about either one of these teams. In fact, one of them I very much don't like because they're a bunch of fucking weirdos. But
wait, you have to be
You know what? That's fair. The fake army weirdos.
Okay, there you go.
But to their credit, their offense has gotten things figured out the last couple weeks. Calzada's played pretty damn good. And look, those fuckers at Auburn hurt Matt Corral last week, which screwed me financially, emotionally. Bad time for everybody. And it's Bo Nix on the road in a very good football environment. I wouldn't trust Bo Nix on the road at fucking UConn where there's nobody decent. There.
Like, I know Penn State covered, I know they won, but he did not destroy Auburn in a whiteout.
You know what? That is very true. So he's used up all of whatever he's got because he survived that shit.
He went down to LSU and pulled something out of his ass. Now, granted, it is a fucked up LSU team.
I was going to say we're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes here. So I'm not going to put too much not going to put too much credit on that one. But yeah, I will happily lay the points with Aggie here.
All right, man, we're careening to some resolution in this our betting contest.
No kidding. This could get ugly for one of us.
Next up, another classic Big Ten matchup that is going to have huge playoff ramifications, Eddie. I'm trying real hard to sell this. This is like a shitty WWE card, and I'm trying my damnedest now.
This is the fucking Blood Money Saudi Arabia show.
At 2:30 p.m. in God's time zone, this shit's going to be on ABC. Michigan State and Purdue. Michigan State, a road favorite by 3 points. Man, were they had the disrespect by the playoff committee, man. We're going to talk about some playoff committee disrespect here big time coming up. That's what we got here against Purdue. Total's 54. Who do you got?
Disrespect by the committee. Let's talk about disrespect by the book. Michigan State gets the biggest win they've had in years, beating an undefeated Michigan. And they're only a 3-point favorite at Purdue?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan.
Uh-oh.
It fucking stinks. Not only does the line stink, you've got 85-68 tickets and money on Michigan State, and it's still Sparty. Last week, I gave you the Miami money line against Pitt because, goddammit, it's Pittsburgh, and it was time for that to come crashing down. The universe told me Friday night that I was correct because that money line, it was Mr. 305. Dale! Cash, no problem. Sparty loves losing these games, and the train boys love winning them. Gimme Purdue.
Well, Eddie, we're back to agreeing here because, yeah, the disparity in the public really scared me off on this one. And that line barely budging. I'm like, oh, okay, something's about to happen here. We got a little bit. Let me bring up the schedule here for Michigan State. Oh, it's all good. Because if I remember right, some bullshit's about to happen to them. Ah, yes. Okay, there we go. I have it up. So looming right around the corner, Eddie, we're not quite in a sandwich situation here. The good old letdown look ahead. Because Ohio State is looming. It's 2 weeks away. But the letdown, very much in play. Very, very much in play. They're on the road. Purdue's already done it once. Granted, it was Iowa, but they did it once already. Purdue loves to play spoilers. I mentioned it before. They are the Stanford of the Big Ten, only in the sense that they're here to ruin dreams and fuck everything up. The Big Ten has finally, it's November, and we are in the season. This is the season where the Big Ten eats its own. And the bullshit scheduling that they've done to pad the records, to make everything look great, to look awesome for everybody, it comes to roost here. I agree. This line stinks. Purdue, and look, the thing about Purdue is Karlaftis is a fucking problem. That defensive line can actually do some good. I don't know what the fuck was happening over with Michigan's line, letting Michigan State just run all over them. That was really the difference in the game. Michigan actually contains a couple of those runs. They might escape East Lansing with a victory. So, yeah.
Kenneth Walker's pretty much jumped to the top of everybody's Heisman board, and I think it was the full cast after dark. I had completely forgotten this. Walker was at Wake Forest. Think
what?
Of how, yeah, he transferred from Wake to Sparty. Think of how fucking terrifying that Wake Forest team would be if they still had Kenneth Walker.
Oh, buddy, there's about to be some regret.
Yeah, like that's insane.
All right, let's move on to another classic Big Ten matchup. And by classic, I mean this is a typical shit fight that you would normally see out of the Big Ten. Prime time, Eddie, over on the Big Ten Network. Top billing again. Iowa and Northwestern.
The Eddie Max are playing under protest, and I have to pick this fucking game. Good God.
Iowa is an 11.5 point favorite. The total is 40.5. This game is only on here for me to say, fuck you. You are dead to me, Iowa. You sons of a bitches couldn't even gain fucking yardage in the first half. What in the fuck makes me think you're going to score anything north of 10 points on your own? It is clear the turnover regression has come to roost, and it ain't changing anytime soon. If there's one thing Northwestern can do, it's do a stupid-ass rock fight to drag you down into the mud. That is ball-control-type football. This is the inverse shootout. This total is probably 10 points too high. Saying it's 10 points too high is probably generous. Somehow, 62% of the tickets and 92% of the money is being burned on Iowa. Not a fucking chance. Not after last week. Dead to me, Iowa. Feel bad for my in-laws, but beyond that, nah, fuck you. No, no, never, never again. God, give me fucking Fitzgerald. Who you got?
Ryan, I understand the anger. I understand the disgust at Iowa's offensive performance.
I swear to Christ if you pick Iowa, Eddie.
But you ask how they could only get that little bit of offense. It's because they were playing the number two defense in the country.
I don't care.
Wisconsin is still number two in the defensive FEI.
Don't
would
care.
Would you like to take a guess at where Northwestern is ranked?
Are they on the sheet?
They are on the sheet. All D1A teams are ranked.
Let's just say they're an 80, just because it's going to be a huge kick in the nuts.
Very, very close. 79.
So I would have been fucked on the prices right, man.
Yeah, you would have real bad. You'd have been real mad at yourself. There's no doubt that Iowa's offense is bad and that they've been getting by on turnover luck and all that. Northwestern fucking sucks.
So does Iowa.
The fact that nobody is mocking how bad Northwestern is, we've made fun of this several times this year on this podcast. But with as much as everybody likes to slurp on Fitzgerald, the fact that they're playing as bad as they are and getting no pub on it just angers me. They're only 2-5 against the spread this year. Yes, there is way more on Iowa, but let's dig into it a little bit. 62% of the tickets, not a huge majority, but 92% of the money. So that means that the smart people are very confident on this pick. Northwestern fucking sucks. They, even against a bad offense, I don't care. Northwestern's defense is probably good for 2 touchdowns in this game. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if their defense outscored their offense. But either way, they're definitely going to outscore Northwestern by more than 12. So give me the Hawkeyes.
This game is going to be 10-0, Eddie.
Offensively, perhaps, but I got the Iowa D for two TDs.
Yeah, that worked real well for me against Wisconsin. That was great strategy. Anyways, we are going to take a break. We're going to get into some other games. There's another SEC matchup, a classic one, and kind of lost its luster a little bit. We'll get to that right after this. Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department, we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book.
just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25. That's WALLSND25 when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book. Use the code WALLSND25 and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library.
All right, we are back, and it's time to head over to ESPN, 6 p.m. in God's time zone, where Alabama will face LSU, a game we always get hyped for when LSU is an absolute dog shit, which they are. Alabama is a 28.5-point favorite at home. Eddie, you have the floor, sir.
I hate the hook, as I always do, but this
key
one
E number two.
Yeah, that's a spicy meatball. Don't love it. But here's the thing: Nick Saban's coming off a bye, and he's got one last chance to just pants Coach O, who's only got about half a team left. You could put this at 48. I'm still taking Bama. Fuck it. Roll Tide.
Yeah, didn't somebody just enter the transfer portal for them too?
Probably.
Everybody's injured or whatever. Look, we said it earlier. We joked about, hey, Coach O is an interim, is actually good. But I think that only worked against Florida, who that loss is for Florida is now looking maybe not so surprising. Mullen is having a little bit of hot water himself. Look, LSU's coming off the bye, too, and apparently the only thing that changed that was somebody saying, my future ain't with LSU, peace. So, I don't like it. And look, the line as far as who's betting who, it's a little scary. We got an Iowa situation here. We got another 62-92 with tickets and money. But here's the difference between Bama and Iowa. Besides the fact that Bama's good, Eddie pantomimed it in the video. Yeah, that line is skyrocketing up. It's moved a whole fucking touchdown plus the extra point. And look, Bama, it was hilarious. The last time they played 2 weeks ago, they ended up covering. They fucked around and they still covered. Like, the first half was kind of atrocious and they still went and covered on Tennessee. So now
a 25-point spread, yes, to be clear.
Which I chalked that up as a loss, and I was shocked when I checked my Action Network statistics and saw the nice green dot next to it to give me the money. So yeah, I'm rolling Tide as well. I mean, this seems like the most obvious pick. I don't think that line is nearly high enough. Man, Coach O, I hope you find some nice woman in exercise pants that isn't married and pregnant to make you feel better about this one, because, buddy, you're going to need it. All right, next up. God, more Big Ten bullshit. Seriously, how do these matchups suck so bad this week?
It's not a great week.
Indiana and Michigan. This is going to be your primetime game on Fox. So, I mean, look, you got Ohio State, Nebraska, and then bookending Fox's day is Indiana and Michigan. They're missing baseball right about now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were worried about World Series. You got the Canelo fight. You got a UFC pay-per-view. They were like, we can tone this week down.
20 points Michigan is favored. 50.5 is the total. Michigan is at home. Oh, boy. We're going on principles again here, Eddie. Two of them. One, fuck Michigan. Two,
fuck Michigan.
78% of the tickets and 71% of the money are on those dumb motherfuckers that lost to Sparty. Dude, Valenti, bless you, had a great, it wasn't his spiciest rant, but I think at this point he's had to do so many of we beat your ass rants that now he's even getting bored with it. He's already used his best material, man. 20 points. I got to give Michigan. No. Guess what? The line opened at 20. That many people are on Michigan, and the line hadn't moved? Oh, boy. Vegas is going to rake in the cash on that one. I'm hopping back on the Pennix, Eddie. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm behind the counter at the sports book right next to you at the next cashier stand, bud. We're on Indiana here. The fact that the world is on Michigan after the way they imploded kind of surprises me. I feel a lot better if this got to 21 because talent disparity, I can see why people are taking Michigan, especially with as bad as Indiana's been.
It's quitting time for Michigan, though. It's quitting time.
Well, it's not only quitting time, but you mentioned earlier with the letdown look ahead. They got Penn State.
Penn State. Yeah.
So I think you could get some issues there, as well as the letdown after the loss to Sparty. But yeah, I don't. 20 is too many.
Yep, 20 is way too many on that one. All right, let's move on. Texas and Iowa State. Have no idea if monkeys are involved in this line or any strippers or anything like that. I actually don't know what the strip club scene is like in Ames, but I'm guessing they don't have monkeys that bite children there. I'm just going to throw that out there. 6.5 points. Iowa State is favored. This is prime time on FS1. Honestly, I think this is a more entertaining game than what Michigan and Indiana are going to throw down. But whatever. You well, do you, Fox.
That's a low bar.
I know, right? Who do you got, Eddie?
I'm done with Texas. Fuck them.
Like, attaboy.
The way they keep imploding on me, and I just continue to keep getting hurt because I'm an idiot. I don't like the problem is now I'm laying points with Iowa State, which is a fool's errand this year. Thankfully, it dropped below a touchdown. We're down to 6.5, which helps considerably. But I cannot take Texas again the way that they have imploded over the last month. I mean, it's like they think they're only playing three quarters. I don't know if Steve Sarkisian realized that I realize at Bama he didn't have to care about a lot of fourth quarters, and so I'm worried that he only knows how to game plan for three. So I don't know what the fuck it is. But yeah, I'm done with the Horns. Give me Iowa State.
It's absolutely incredible how you could basically set your watch to what Texas is going to do at this point. It's clockwork. Ever since the OU game, it has been the same. Build up lead, lose spread. It's unbelievable. I'm flabbergasted. You got one of the best running backs in all of college football, and you can't fucking run out the clock. It's incredible.
Incredible.
I don't get it. So now you're going into Ames at night.
Nope.
I know it's not a Friday night game, so you don't have the extra layer of weirdness, but this is a recipe for disaster. And then you have all the crazy ass. Look, I think I know what's happened with Sarkisian, Eddie. I think what he ends up doing is at halftime, he looks at that fucking monkey's Instagram. Because the monkey has an Instagram account, people.
Monkey Gia?
Yeah, something like that. I can't explain it. That is now the only logical explanation. And on top of that, I still got a link up here. Let's see. Who is it? Joshua Moore had apparently had a conflict with the coaching staff. This is one of the most productive receivers on Texas's team. Had some kind of disagreement with the staff. 24/7, the Horns Network or whatever on here. Isn't going into details, but he's not playing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Things are coming apart at this. It's quitting time for the Horns now.
I would credit it if I remember who it was. I think it was one of the Statesman reporters here in Austin. But Steve Sarkisian has already blown a bigger lead than Tom Herman ever did. Lost by more points in a game than Tom Herman ever did. And lost more games in a row than Tom Herman ever did. Pretty impressive for just now getting to the third month of his tenure.
Oh, you just hate to see it, Texas. Oh, goodness. Absolutely incredible. And like we said before that pairing made no sense. It makes even less sense now. Again, special teams coach is the biggest distraction on the team right now. Not even a special teams coach. It's a special teams coach's girlfriend's monkey. These are things I can say with a fairly straight face. I'm trying not to laugh, but these are all factual things.
It is very important to note that, one, she considers it to be an emotional support monkey, and two, the emotional support monkey performed on stage with her multiple times. It's part of the act.
She was on Jerry Springer, had wife and kids. Oh, and somewhere along the line, Eddie, somebody that used to cover the Aggie recruiting beat.
Oh, yeah.
He got a booty call text at 4 a.m. while this fucker was on a recruiting trip to California. Literally say, let me holla.
It's like when a coach points to his attractive wife and says, look, I know how to recruit. My man's just working on recruiting 24/7. He never turns it off.
Apparently, that was the only thing he recruited out there, because the reply, the statement of that tweet was, the Aggies never saw anything out of California, but apparently he was still working. So on the Aggies' dime, he's out there trying to find a bunch of side pieces.
I mean, look, good work if you can get it, right?
Bless you that if you've been able to scam people out of money for that, look, good for you. But yeah, oh God. This is hilarious. All right. Speaking of hilarious, let's go to the Pac-12, where Oregon, as a 7-point favorite, heads on the road to Washington. This game is at 6:30 in the evening in God's time zone on ABC. Man, this game sounded awesome in the preseason.
Yeah, right?
Doesn't sound as good now. You know what else doesn't sound good, Eddie?
What's that?
95% of the tickets and 93% of the money is on Oregon. Line movement, half a point. Nope. Not happening. Look, the Huskies have been bad, but Oregon hasn't been completely great all season. Like, congratulations. You are somehow in the playoff conversation, because I don't know what the hell the committee's smoking. Apparently, they forgot you lost to fucking Stanford. Oh, you were on the road in an environment that's not tough to play in at all. Now you're going to go into an environment that actually has a semi-pulse. You're a favorite. The playoff committee has uplifted you. Time to come crashing down. Give me the Huskies. Who you got?
Yeah, it's a house play. This is house money. It's fade public. We're taking Washington. You noted how Oregon lost to Stanford. Washington beat Stanford last week. I was having a little college reunion with my boys last week. We're all up in D.C. watching the games. After our game, we had the Virginia-BYU game. You got 80 points at halftime. Live line hit .150 at one point. And then you got Washington-Stanford, where you're wondering if they could scrape together 35 between them.
Todd Gilmore's wet dream was one of those games.
Jesus, it really would have been. Look, neither of these teams can cover a spread. They're both 2-5 against the number this year. But you said it. Like, buildings are tall and shiny for a reason, kids. Fade the public.
That is the highest public play I saw on any of the picks, outside of even the 12 we have.
Yeah, and it's not like there are several games we have that are under 1,000 tickets. Like, we're over 1,000. There's a decent amount of action on it for the network. So I feel more than happy taking the Washington Huskies.
Now we need to talk about one of the biggest crimes the playoff committee created.
Grand larceny.
We're not even talking about Cincinnati getting screwed. We're not even talking about undefeated teams finding their ways lower in the ranking. We're not even talking about Alabama. Basically, the committee saying, guess what? We're putting them in as long as they haven't lost two games, just to let you know. No, we are talking about the Roadrunners of UTSA.
Maybe.
Undefeated. Coming out of nowhere. Well, I mean, they've been coming to this point for a while. They got a coach making bank right now. He's a hot name on the market. That agent's making a hell of a lot of money. One way or the other, UTSA is going to make a lot of money because somebody's going to pay that buyout. 11-point favorite against UTEP, who, if you will remember, UTEP screwed us out of a perfect week zero.
It's true.
This, you've heard of Pac-12 after dark, but have you ever had regional Texas schools go at it at 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard?
Oh, baby.
UTEP's at home. We're playing this one over in the mountains of El Paso, Eddie. Who do you got?
Hey, look, things get weird in El Paso at night. Things get weird in El Paso all the time, but especially at night.
I love that city.
But, man, I ride with the fucking Roadrunners, baby. I want revenge for week zero. UTEP fucked us, and I want that vengeance. Both these teams are, like, this is easily the game I'm looking forward to the most out of the weekend. Like, both teams are 6-1 against the spread. They've been fun all year. 11's a lot. It's a big number. But, nah, man, fuck it. Like, this is an emotional play. Give me the Roadrunners.
Eddie, I am investing in my emotions as well. Like you said, UTEP dead to us.
Dead.
They couldn't lie over and just take it.
Monsters.
We would have both had a parlay. We would both be a lot richer right now.
Like, between us, we're talking thousands of dollars. Yes. Like, that would have been a lot of money.
That was the way things should have opened. And now the committee has said, nah, we considered UTSA, but no. Oh, you will consider them. They will make you consider them now. I am looking. Have you ever seen a pissed off Roadrunner? He's already blowing up the coyote just for fun.
Yeah, now, that's emotionless. That's just for kicks.
It's just because he can. Oh, now you pissed him off. You pissed them all off. They're not eating the queso, but they're going to be eating some miners. It makes sense. Just don't worry about it.
As a friend who is an attorney, I would advise you to not say anything about eating miners on the internet, Ryan.
Hey, look, unlike a certain stripper's Twitter feed, nobody listens to this show. This is not admissible in court. This is all for entertainment purposes only. We're not actually betting money on these games. We're not actually serious about any of this.
I'm just looking out for you, bud. You don't want to end up like said stripper's monkey who did try to eat a miner.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Give me the Roadrunners. Which leaves
homophones.
Us with one final game. And that is another long-standing classic game that we all wish would fucking die.
In the series.
Notre Dame and Navy. 2:30 p.m. Central. We're back to the normal kickoff times on NBC. Which, you know what? Of all times, I would have loved a weird stagger. It would be nice if this wasn't the same time as the one ranked matchup game, but whatever. It is what it is. 20.5 points is where this one is settled for the Irish. About to do something, Eddie. Something I haven't done yet this season.
Wow.
We're going to fade the Irish here. And it's not that I think Notre Dame is going to struggle. No. That's not it. The only thing I think I get bit for is that the hook is below the key number of 21. This team, Eddie, and by this team I mean Notre Dame, is not built to just blow people out of the water. They could score, and this Navy team's fucking awful, don't get me wrong. But Navy has figured out how to run the option again, which good for them, congratulations. So they can bleed the clock. I am real worried about the state of our linebacking core and our Kyle Hamilton-less secondary to contain some shit. I will feel real good if we line up with 5 defensive linemen down there. I mentioned this with Shannon in our last pod because I think that's where our strength is. But I'm also terrified about putting that many D linemen knees at risk. This game has the feel, like just looking at it in the grand scheme of things, it just has the feel of win the damn game and get the fuck out of there. I don't think any grand statements are going to be made. And Navy, they're going to be frustrating. They always get up for this game. They're going to bleed clock. And Notre Dame, they don't exactly step on throats very often this year. Love to be wrong, but asking for a 21-point victory against a team that always aggravatingly makes a game too damn close. I'm actually not putting as much stock in the Cincinnati game in this pick, believe it or not, because I think Cincy's a little tired. So is J.D. Bertrand. So is the rest of that linebacking core. And Marcus Freeman, and he's been shown that he will allow the run to get past him for a few yards here and there. So I don't think it'll be in doubt. I just don't think it's going to be a cover. So I'm actually going to fade Notre Dame on this one. I want to be wrong. Please prove me wrong. I want to see Notre Dame comfortably win this shit by 30 so we can put in all the backups in this one. But this screams frustrating backdoor cover type bullshit, and I just can't do it. So that's where I'm going. I don't like it, but I feel it's a safe play, Eddie. Who do you got?
Here I was like gearing myself up for a fight because I thought that I was going to get yelled at. But yeah, I'm on Navy as well.
It's the smart play.
It's hard to trust Notre Dame laying 3 scores. The offense has looked much better the last 2 weeks. I think a lot of credit goes to Tommy Rees. They have realized what Jack Cohn can do. And that is get rid of the fucking ball as quick as possible so you don't walk yourself into a sack or let the O-line, which the O-line has played a little bit better. I think people this week have been getting a little salty on Twitter of like the going way to the other side and like, see, look how good the offensive line is doing now. Look how dumb you were for saying they were bad. And I'm like, it's only because the ball is back there for like under 2 seconds. Let's not get too hasty. But on the whole, the offense has played a lot better. And I do want to fully credit Tommy Rees. He has done a great job with the play calls. A lot more RPOs, a lot more screens, a lot more play.
Like, look at the growth. Look at the growth from Eddie. I love it.
Somebody came at me with this shit on Twitter the other day.
Oh, really?
I said when Tommy, on this podcast, when Tommy Rees was officially hired as OC, that I was just going to come in, clear mind, fucking like clean slate. I was going to give him a chance. And I feel like I've been nothing but fair with Tommy Rees since he has been the offensive coordinator.
You have. The bitch just too. I drew you off sides and I'm so happy now.
Yeah, that's fair. It's only because this is like the second or third time I've heard it in the last 2 weeks.
It's like Bill Connelly having to take shit for the SP Plus and actually hopping in my bitch like, dude, like, what the hell?
He was getting salty. Understandably though, like, y'all know we don't grade well on the metrics. We know that. But the main reason that I'm fading this, the defense last week, like, first off, the injuries. Kyle Hamilton's out. Foskey, I haven't seen anything about any lingering effects of the injury that took him out of the game last week. But even if he's at 85%.
Nah, don't play him. No.
He's certainly not going to be going hard, and he's not going to be playing the entire game. I don't think we have the depth to deal with the fucking option in the way that we may usually want to. I think your read on it is about right. To me, this feels like it's going to linger around 17 for most of the game. And right whenever we think we're going to pull away, either we're going to do a dumb turnover or they're going to break out a run. Because the real thing I can't get out of my head is how fucking piss poor the tackling was last week. The defense looked terrible. There were so many missed tackles last week. And if you're doing that against an option team, things are going to get bad. I have no concern about losing this game, but the cover is tough.
That's asking for a tall order. 21 points is a tall order against any team, unless you're, you know, the murder trains of Alabama or Georgia. It's just a big ask.
Yeah. And like you said, the fact that it dipped below 20.5, I was kind of wishy-washy on it, but I can't do it right now.
No. And like I said, I think your read on it's perfect as far as where the score is going to end up. And look, it's just we've been hurt too many times by this game. We just know how this goes. And I think one thing Brian Kelly has shown, especially in this game, more than any other, is just to look, when we do blow the teams out, like, it's quick and it's painless. Like, it's over by halftime when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah, there's no chance that you're going for the throat in
this game. Yeah, and this defense is too tired. You don't want to put your defense at risk as well. That's the other thing. They're already dog-tired enough. Kelly has been really smart about this game. And also, like, you know, I'm thinking of 2012. That was like the first game of the season. Everybody's full health. Everybody's good. Traveling to Ireland. Like, yeah, everything's different. This is a tired team. This is a banged up team. You do not want to get a stupid injury in this game. You just want to get out, get the W. Especially, I think, more so than anything, the playoff ranking that Notre Dame received, which I actually have no problems with. Being in the top 10 alone, that's fine. I think it's very clear where the path is for the Irish, and that's, it doesn't matter what they do as long as they win. They need so much help to get into the playoff right now.
There's no path.
Yeah.
Because the only way we get there requires Cincinnati to lose, which in and of itself tanks us out. I do not think there is a path, period.
I don't either. I mean, it have to be absolute chaos, and I think the committee made it really clear. The kind of chaos that needs to happen is like hitting a fucking 20-game parlay, which, cool. This isn't a playoff team. I've been comfortable with that logic for a while.
No one expected it to be.
Yeah, so look, if we go 10-2, 11-1, I still think we could go 11-1. I'm more worried about the Virginia game on the other side of this shit.
That's the other thing is, are you going to risk any of your defenders when you've got a track meet coming up against Virginia as well.
Absolutely. So there's a little bit of look ahead going here, because that is probably the toughest game left on the schedule, is that Virginia game. So yeah, look, Kelly's smart. I know a lot of people get driven nuts by him, but he's smart about the way he manages the team and coaches them. And when he is in press conferences admitting that some people are tired, that should be the big signal to you that they are just going to try to be as vanilla as possible and just try not to get destroyed. And they're just going to play plain and win the game. It's going to be boring, but here's the good news. It's going to be quick, so you can get to the end of the Auburn-Texas A&M game when this is all over. But yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh no.
I have a just random question for you. If you were offered a line of when Notre Dame Navy ends, has the fourth quarter of Auburn A&M started yet? And I'm trying to feel where the juice should be on that. I feel like it would be a little. It'd be like -140, yes, +120, no.
I think that would be about right. You would definitely go, yes is the gut reaction for, I think, just about everybody.
Right.
That Auburn Aggie game, the way both of those teams actually lean on the run pretty heavily, if they're smart. Jimbo's been stupid and just tried to airmail it way too often. But I think I would actually say no, the fourth quarter will have started, because I actually think, especially with the way the total is in that game, it's under 50. I think Vegas is anticipating a more of a running attack instead of just trying to. I mean, look, if Auburn's going to win the game, they're not going to want Bo Nix to try to light it up.
God, no.
A&M wants to win the game. They're going to want Spiller to run the ball. I mean, that's. I would actually think that, there'd be a better chance that it won't be. It'll be close. It won't be long, but I would lean towards no. I'm going to have to actually. We're going to have to. I need to write that down or something, because that's going to be an interesting play. Not that we could have action on it. I would probably bet on it just to say I did it.
Yeah, there's you'll never find anywhere to book that, but I plan on tracking that just for my own purposes, because I'm now curious as to where that goes.
That's a good one. I need to make that note here. Fourth quarter. Aggie by end of ND game. Yeah, let's try that. All right. I'm going to have it in there so I at least remember to have it in my mind at some point on Saturday what happened. Yeah, there we have it. It's really funny, Eddie. We disagreed on damn near every game in the first half, and then we went simpatico on the second half. It's like we opened up the 12 pack of beer, just arguing and fighting with each other, and then as we got drunk, we just started hugging each other and said, "I love you, man."
I mean, that would track with many of our past shenanigans, so that would make sense. Ryan, you know, it also kind of tracks, because it's crazy. I feel like all year the early slate has been just chock full of fucking bangers, which is so antithetical to the rest of my college football watching career.
Right.
It's been bizarre. Like, the afternoon and night slates have been, nah, fine. You usually get one or two good games, but the morning slates have been nuts. Kids, look, just get through the week. We all know what this game is. I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, you should listen to better podcasts like The Race Report, but...
You'll have a lot of time next season.
you probably are in a similar mindset to the two of us and good old Shane. So I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but God, I fucking hate this game. I'm so tired of it, because you don't win. Even if you do win the football game, you get no credit for it. If you lose, you're buried and your knees are at risk the whole time. So let's just fucking. Any debts have been paid. Let's get out of here, shall we? But man, we're coming down to it. Like you said, it's week 10. There's not that many games left. So, you know, it's November now. Getting cooler around the country. Cuddle up. Get yourself some cozy slippers. A nice dark beer. Your pumpkin spice whatchamacallits. make yourself a nice bowl of chili. I hear Ryan conned his way into some book with a chili recipe.
Hell yeah.
Go check that out. You know, enjoy yourselves. It's getting nice and cool. We got through Halloween. We're fucking 7-1, man. I don't think any of us came in to this season with the highest of hopes. I know that at least Ryan and myself are fairly emotionally and financially invested on at least getting 2 more wins. So definitely hoping those cash. But let's just enjoy the football for what we have. And, you know, we've been saying all during the show that it's not the best slate, but we already know what year it is. It's a chaos year, so who the hell knows what's going to happen. So buckle up, have some fun. Let's watch a little bit more foosball while we still got it, kids. And as always, go Irish. Go Gambit.
All right, I'll be happy when this is done, Eddie. When we're members of the ACC and we have to play conference games and close by the wayside. So with that said...
Hey, our strength schedule goes way down.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us in Discord over on herloyalsons.com/Discord, twitch.tv/herloyalsons for the sim Thursday, 9 p.m. Central. Of course, herloyalsons.com. And as always, all, go Irish, beat Navy, have a good one.